Hebrews chapter 11.
We read earlier in,
maybe we can look at that verse again, which we saw earlier in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. The meaning of that is that, you know, if I change my position, turning in a different direction, my shadow turns with me. And when it says there is no shifting shadow with God, it means He's always set His face in one direction. He's absolutely unchanging. He never changes. He never changes. He's always holy. He always gives grace to the humble. Absolutely no change in these things. Never changes. He always says, according to your faith, be it unto you, whether your faith is little or big. He never changes in that. He always never forgives those who don't forgive others. He never changes in that. He always makes people reap what they sow. If they sow to the flesh, they will reap corruption. If they sow to the Spirit, they will reap everlasting life. He never changes. Never, never. Wherever people go into the dying of Jesus, they will experience the resurrection. He never changes. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, always, never, never changing. No variation. He is not in one position in the first century and another position in the 20th century. He's exactly the same. He's exactly the same towards all people. There's no partiality, like we sing in that song, what He did for Jesus, He will do for you. Or we can say what He's done for others, He will do for you. Because there is no partiality. If Jesus experienced something, it's because He fulfilled certain laws. If other brothers have known an anointing and a richness in their life, it's because they fulfilled certain laws. And not because God is partial. No, He's exactly the same. He always calls rebellion witchcraft in any century. He will always resist the proud. Never does He change in these things. I cannot bribe Him. I cannot make Him change His laws. I can serve Him for 25 years, 50 years, and then when I become proud, He will resist me. It's like that. And if I humble myself, He'll give me grace. If I trust Him with a large faith, I shall receive according to my faith. And if I pray in secret, He will reward me openly. If I fast in secret, He will reward me openly. And if I don't pray in secret, I'll get nothing openly. If I don't fast in secret, I'll get nothing openly. If I do my righteousness in secret, He will reward me openly. If I do unrighteousness in secret, I reap the fruit of that also openly. It is absolutely, God is without a shifting shadow. And brothers and sisters, that is the one single reason why it is so different with so many believers in the church. That is the one single reason why so many people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 10 years later, they are in different spiritual levels. Because God never changes. Every perfect gift comes from Him. Every perfect gift comes from Him. Those who try to get it through a man never get it. And we read in Hebrews 11, and chapter 11 and verse 6, God, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him diligently. If I seek Him earnestly, sincerely, He will reward me. It is impossible for Him not to reward me when I have sought Him diligently. So much so that I can say to myself that if I have not got what I sought for, it is because I have not sought Him diligently. I have not sought Him with all my heart. That's a law of God. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him diligently. It makes absolutely no difference to Him what your education is, what your background is, how many years you've lived in sin. That makes no difference. When the blood of Jesus blots out your sin, you know what you become like? You know what it says about Naaman, who was such a terrible leper that he had to wear long sleeve shirts to cover up his leprosy? That when he went into that river Jordan and he came up the seventh time, it says his flesh became like that of what? A little child. You read that in 2 Kings 5. His flesh became like that of a little child. I mean, even we who never got leprosy, our flesh is not like that of a little child. It's got coarseness and so many things. But he got such a healing that his flesh became like how he had it when he was a baby. So clear. And that's how Jesus cleanses us in His blood. It's amazing that even though you may have lived in sin for so many years and lived in worldliness and all types of filthy things, when you are dipped in the blood of Jesus and you come out, it's like a little child. You say, that's not possible. Well, brother, according to your faith, be it unto you. It will never be possible for you. I said to God years ago, it is possible, and it has become like that for me. I would recommend to you to believe God's word instead of your reason. That when the blood of Jesus cleanses us, it's gone completely. When He says, I will not remember your sins anymore, He doesn't remember it. I believe it. I honor Him. I can't please Him if I don't believe what He says. Lots of believers sit around moping around because they don't believe what God says. It'll never go well with you because you don't believe what God's word says. The blood of Jesus has done for me. And it's that assurance that gives me boldness when I stand before Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But it's that also which makes me want to fear him and hate sin with all my heart. I want to believe with all my heart that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And when I hear of other brothers who've come to a life of victory, I ask myself, how did they get it? God's not partial. Why is it I can't have the life which I have seen another brother have? I believe that any godly brother I have seen in my whole life, I believe I can have his life. I believe it with all my heart. If I do what he did in secret, the Father will repay me also openly. It all depends on what I am sowing in secret. If I earnestly seek him, he will reward me accordingly. It's exact. And there is no partiality. There's no one who gets a discount from God that he won't give to you. You go to these earthly shops and some favorites of theirs, they give some discount. You're not a favorite, he doesn't know who you are, you don't get a discount. But it's not like that with God. He gives the same to all people. We read in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And you will call upon me, verse 12, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you'll seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. And I pray that whatever experience of the Holy Spirit you have had in these days will lead you to seek God at least from now with all your heart. That at least now you will say, Lord, I want to make a new beginning in my life. A new beginning where the past is blotted out, cleansed, washed out in the blood of Jesus, completely, all that sin and rebellion and insubordination. All you wives who bossed your husbands for so long, you're going to change. I hope so, in your own interest. I hope you'll change so that you don't end in the devil's lap one day. And all you husbands who've been so hard on your wives, in your own interest, I hope you'll change. The past is blotted out if you have repented and confessed and asked Jesus to cleanse it away in His blood. He says, I will not remember it anymore. But now, Will you seek Him in earnest? You will seek Him and you'll find Him. When you search for Him with all your heart, when you say to Him like we sang in that song, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Nice sentimental song to sing, isn't it? Quite another thing to mean it from our heart. Lord, there's absolutely nothing I'll say no to. You can take it away. Take this, that, anything. I only want Jesus Himself for the rest of my life. Absolutely nothing do I ask for. Say that to the Lord. You young people, say, Lord, even if I never get married in my life, that's not the big thing. You young men who are eyeing some girl, and you girls who have got your eyes or your mind on some boy, when will you say, take this whole world but give me Jesus? That's the day you'll get joy. You got your mind on something of this earth? Well, I'm not saying you God won't bless you, I'm only saying you'll never get God's best. Never. I can give it to you in writing. The people who got God's best are the ones who laid every single thing on the altar and said, Lord, take it all away. I'm not interested. I don't have my mind on any human being. I have my mind on Jesus. I don't have my mind on getting married. And I'm not telling you to do what I haven't done myself. I remember the years when I said that to the Lord. I said, Lord, marriage doesn't interest me. If you want me to do it, I'll do it for your glory. But that's not the main thing in life. Jesus is the greatest thing in life. And after nearly 25 years of married life, I say to you, Jesus is the greatest thing for me after 25 years of married life. Not my marriage, not my wife, not my children, Jesus Himself. It's like that today because it was like that before I got married. It'll never be anything else. God save me from coming to a place where anything on this earth will be more important. Dear brother, sister, take it seriously. God is an exact rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If sex is the big thing for you, well, you'll get that. If God is the big thing for you, you'll get Him. You can have your choice. If money is the big thing for you in your life, you'll get it. If God is the big thing in your life, you'll get Him. You get what you seek. You reap what you sow. If the good opinion of your relatives is the big thing in your mind, you'll get it, brother, sister. But you can't have God. You can't have God. You can never in your life be a servant of Christ. If I seek to please men, I cannot be the servant of Christ. Impossible. You seek to please one human being, and that day you cease to be a servant of Christ. What does it mean to turn over a new leaf? It means to say, Lord, you can take everything away from me. Nothing is going to be more important to you from now on than Jesus Himself. Don't let the pursuit of a profession be the great thing. You children who are studying, I want to encourage you to study hard in your school and college. Do well in your examinations. Study hard, but don't make that your goal in life. Study hard and do well so that your parents don't have to pay for another year for you, and so that you can get a job quickly and support yourself so that you're not going to be a burden to your parents. That's the goal. And so that finally you can be independent and live your life for God. And use your time and energy and money to live for God. If that's your goal, God's got wonderful things, wonderful things. Eye has not seen what God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you know that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? The things which I, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, the things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, 1 Corinthians 2 9. Which have not even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. There are wonderful things God has prepared for those who love Him. And if you are one of those who love Him with all your heart, you never, the Bible says you've got to love Him with all your heart, every part of your heart, covenant with Him. There'll never be any other person in your heart but Jesus Himself. And every person you love will be through Jesus. If Jesus approves of it, that's all. No. One permanent love affair with Jesus Christ alone, that's all. Every other love is going to be through the Lord. You're going to love your wife through the Lord, your children through the Lord. Everything, only as the Lord leads you to that. He is first, He's supreme, He fills your heart, your job, Nothing. There's no place in your heart for anything. For those who love Him like that, if you love the Lord like that with all of your heart, all your strength and all your mind, you want to love the Lord Jesus Christ, here's a promise for you. Your eye has not seen what God has prepared for you. Your ear has not heard what God has prepared for you. It cannot even enter your heart the wonderful things God has prepared for you. I say that for your encouragement. I have experienced something of that the last so many, many years, particularly these last 16 years. I never thought in my wildest imagination that I'd experience the things that God has enabled me to taste of in these 16 years. I never knew it. It's amazing. That's not just my testimony, it's the testimony of others who have loved God with all their hearts. But I tell you, I've also seen people who started out like that, and halfway along the way they loved something else. They loved a man, they loved a woman, they loved a job, they loved some money, they loved their relatives, they loved this, that, the other, and I've seen how it's gone. Grumpy, complaining, miserable, gloomy. But they say, yes, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues so many years ago. What's you saying that? What's you saying that? Look at your condition today. The Spirit has departed ages ago. Do you know that even when the Holy Spirit departs from a person, the person can still speak in tongues? Did you know that? That a person, once he's received the gift of tongues, the Holy Spirit can depart from him and he can still speak in tongues. Because of one verse. It says in Romans chapter 11, in verse 29, God's gifts can never be withdrawn. God's gifts, He doesn't withdraw. It's like this. Supposing you went and gave somebody a very expensive birthday gift one day. And 1 year later the fellow turns around and becomes your enemy, and you go back to him and say, hey, that birthday gift I gave you 1 year back, I'd like it back now. Even we don't do it. You say, okay, forget it. Well, that's what God also says, forget it. He's backslidden now, but I'm not going to take back the gift I gave him. And that is the mistake so many people make. You say, I'm still speaking in tongues. The Spirit has departed ages ago. No. If you don't forgive others, Spirit will depart. If you have a bitterness against someone, the Spirit will depart. If you live in impurity, you live in hypocrisy, the Spirit will depart. You'll still speak in tongues. Dear brother, sister, take it seriously. But the Spirit will never depart when you love Jesus with all your heart. That I can guarantee. Absolutely not. Never. Make that your ambition and goal in life. To love Jesus with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. And when you do that, you'll find it easy to love others also. You'll find it easy to forgive the people who have done you the greatest harm. And you'll really find all these attractive things the world, worldly people are running after are not worth it at all. They're not worth it. What you need will come falling into your lap. What you need will come falling into your lap of earthly things as much as you need them. You'll never lack anything. If God sees you need something, He'll give it to you of earthly things. All the silver and the gold are His. And He gives it as much as we need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these other things will be added to you. I can testify to that for over 25 years now. Never, never have I sought one single thing of this earth in the last 25, 30 years that I can consciously think of. Not one thing. But I've never lacked. God's always provided. Sometimes little, sometimes much. But I never even testify about it. Because those are like the byproducts. But I can testify what the Lord has done in my life. To bring me to victory. That's the great thing. Jesus didn't come to give us money. He came to give us an abundant life in Jesus. A joy that no man can take away from us. Dear brother, sister, love Jesus with all your heart. It's the secret of everything. Paul said, I'm afraid lest Satan will take you away from that simplicity of devotion to Jesus, where something else becomes important.
Something becomes very precious to you. And it's because you seek after that thing which has become precious to you. It's very easy when you're young to think of marriage and to keep, have your mind on some particular person. And then you don't tell anybody perhaps, but you've got your mind on somebody. How can you have that like that and be taken up with that and love Jesus with all your heart? I would say it's impossible. And it always ends up in frustration and spiritual backsliding. In 100% of cases, not 99%, 100% of cases. That's why I say to young people, keep your mind on the Lord. Love Him with all your heart. Don't set your mind on marriage and earthly things if you want God's best. I've seen people who set their mind on marriage and got married in haste and have spent years repenting of it. Believers. God is merciful to them and still blesses them finally, but it can never be like if it was God's best. God's best is received in this area by those who say, Lord, I want You. And if I have nothing else but You, that's enough. All my life, that's enough. And if in addition to You, one day You give me marriage as well to someone of Your choice, well, I'll accept it. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it even entered into your heart what God has reserved for those who love Him. It's better to get it from Him than set your mind on it and try to grab it in some way. The same thing with a job or a house. I tell you, your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, it has not even entered into your heart the things God has reserved for those who love Him. Job, house, wife, family, if it is in His will, if it is in His will, in Jesus' case, God reserved no house for Him and reserved no wife for Him. That is not in His will. Maybe like that, for Paul it was like that. But if it is in His will, then these things are reserved. All these things, all these earthly things, whatever God wants you to have, He'll let you have, and He will make you one day, years later, a living testimony to the fact that God never disappoints those who trust Him. They get the best. Those who seek, as it were, the best of both worlds. You know, among Christians, there are multitudes of people who are trying to get the best of both worlds. They want to get the best here and the best in heaven. I'll tell you, they end up getting the best nowhere. But those who seek only the best in heaven, only that, they end up getting the best of both worlds. It's true. I've seen it through many, many years in many, many people. Because God says, did you really seek Me alone? Did you really want to love only Me with all your heart? Well, I won't let you down. All of creation, I created it from nothing. You're My Son. I'll give you from that creation all that you need. What a wonderful life. What a wonderful life. Seek God. Don't even seek a ministry in the church. There are people I've seen through these years who sought a ministry. They haven't loved Jesus. They want a ministry. They want to go here or do this and do that and really get a ministry. And I've seen the downfall of such people in my life. I've seen what's happened to them. Some of them could have been really effective men of God, but they've become nothing because they didn't seek Jesus. They sought a ministry. And I've seen other people who love Jesus with all their heart. Eye has not seen what a ministry God has reserved for them. It never even enters into their heart what a wonderful ministry God has reserved for them, because they never sought it. They sought Jesus. That's all. They never sought to compete with anyone. They never wanted anybody else's ministry. They wanted nothing. They wanted Jesus. And they said, Lord, if I have You, I'm happy. Their eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into their heart the things God has reserved for such brothers and sisters. Just think what we're missing. Think what we're missing by grabbing, trying to grab what God says, wait for Me to give it to you. I often think of that David when it said that he was a man after God's own heart. There was one thing in David's life, he never grabbed. He never grabbed. God said, You're the king. He said, okay, put Me on the throne in Your own time. I'm not going to grab. So many chances he had to kill Saul, grab the throne. He said, I won't grab it. I'll never grab it. I love God. One thing I have desired of the Lord, David said in Psalm 27:4, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord. I remember how God gave me that verse many years ago as a young boy, as a young man. God gave me this verse and it's been precious to me. The one thing I want from God, the holy Psalm 27:4. One thing I want from God, the thing that I seek most of all, is the privilege of meditating in His temple, seeing the beauty of the Lord, delighting in His incomparable perfections and glory. That's all, Lord. It's amazing. I don't want to be king. I don't want the ministry that Saul has. I don't want anything. Just give me this. And that was in the Old Testament. And David's name goes right through to the book of Revelation. He wasn't a perfect man, and that's the thing that encourages us. He was a man who made a lot of mistakes. And I've come to see that. When I look back over my life, I see so many mistakes I made, so many foolish, stupid things I did in my past life. And God's been merciful, tremendously merciful. And David made a lot of mistakes. But if you can say, Lord, there's one thing I desire, I'm not saying you'll never make a mistake from now on, but I say your mistakes won't matter to God. Isn't that good news? That your mistakes won't matter to God because they were little slip-ups along the way. Deep down in your heart, you wanted to love Him with all your heart. You never wanted anything else but Jesus Himself. You wanted to be taken up with His beauty and His glory, to love Him more and more, to dwell in His presence all the time, to be misunderstood, persecuted, suffering, anything. Lord, I'm willing for all of that if I can live before Your face and love You. I'm not even asking that You'll give me an easy way through life. There's some people who love that. If you want an easy way through life, well, then you've got some other desire. You can't say one thing I have a desire of the Lord. You've got to say I've desired two things from the Lord. One, I want to love Jesus with my heart. Second, I also want to have an easy way through life. Then be honest. But the person who says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, to love Jesus with all my heart. I'm not asking for an easy way through life. I'm not asking that everybody will understand me and everybody will love me and everybody will be good to me. I'm not asking. Then you're asking for four or five things. No, many people, they are asking God for so many other things. They're not people after God's own heart. God has prepared wonderful things for whom? For those who love Him. Those who love Him with all their heart. And I'll tell you, you'll see, when you see God with all your heart like that, you'll see the blessing of God not only on your life. You'll see it on your wife. You'll see it on your children. Yes, you'll see it in your home. You'll see it in everything you do. The blessing of God. Because you never sought those things. You are not interested in those things. You're interested in God. And when things are going wrong, when things go wrong consistently, and in such a way that your own spiritual life is lost and you become a backslider, you need to ask yourself why. And you'll say, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. Yeah. Oh, how the devil's possessed your heart to be able to say, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. It's a man whose heart is filled with the devil who says that. So-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. Nobody can do anything to me. If you love God with all your heart, it's impossible. God makes everything work together for good. All these people have got complaints about so-and-so said this and so-and-so did that. They don't face up to the real reason. The real reason is, which they'll never acknowledge, and as long as they don't acknowledge it, there's no salvation for them. The real reason is, I did not love Jesus with all my heart. When things have gone wrong with you, brother, sister, consistently wrong, have you acknowledged the reason instead of blaming somebody else? Instead of putting the blame on somebody else. I've heard people say, my children went astray because the church did not show them love. Such people, their whole family, the earth will open up and swallow them up into Hades, into hell. Sure. To blame the church for their own lack of wholeheartedness in following Jesus. Imagine, to blame the body of Christ for their own backsliding.
for their own worldliness, for their own love of money, where in the world is God going to reward them? Impossible. That when the day comes when they say, I have failed, I have not loved Jesus with all my heart, it's not my brother or sister, it's nothing that anybody in the church did, I did not love Jesus with all my heart, therefore it has gone badly with me, it's gone badly with my family, salvation will come that day. As long as we don't say that, and we blame this brother did that, and that sister did this, and this person did that, and the church is like this, and this, that, and the other, I tell you, you're going to be worse. 1 year from now, it's going to be much worse. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 year from now, it's going to be worse than it is with you today. And 2 years from now, it'll be terrible. And I don't know what it'll be 3 years from now. God have mercy on you. Where is the failure? You mean God could not reserve something for you? That God has prepared so many wonderful things for those who love Him? And some brother snatched it away from you? Some sister snatched it away from you? Oh, what a powerless God yours must be then. My God is not powerless. No brother can snatch away from me what God has reserved for me. No sister can snatch away from me what God has reserved for me. I'll tell you that. Even the godliest brother in the world cannot snatch away from me the life God has reserved for me, the ministry God has reserved for me. Who in the world can do that? Not the devil, no godly brother, no carnal brother, no relative, nobody. Because the God I serve is almighty. But when you say, oh brother, so and so did this, or the church was like this, then you are worshipping some other God. It must be an idol that you're worshipping. Some dumb idol you're worshipping, not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who is almighty, who rules in the heavens. Change the God you worship. Stop worshipping idols. Come back to the true and living God. That's what you need. Love Jesus with all your heart. And I tell you, your eye has not seen what God has prepared for you. Your ear has not even heard what wonderful things God has prepared for you. It has not even entered your heart what wonderful things God has prepared for you. You've missed it for years because you have not loved God with all your heart. You've loved other things, blamed other people, blame, till you've lost everything, even the little you had you lost. When will we learn, brother, sister? Why do we speak so much about praise, praise, praise? Why do people get offended with the spirit of praise in the church? When I hear somebody yelling at his wife in a house, I say, Lord God Almighty, am I going to praise you with a lower volume of voice than the way that fellow shouting at his wife? God, I should be ashamed of myself if I praise God with a lower volume of voice than the way that fellow shouts at his employer. I've seen some of these contractors yell at their workers and these scooter repair shops the way they shout at those little boys. I say, shame on me if I'm going to praise God with a little whisper. And the devil's got all his agents across the city shouting and yelling, cursing people. And the children of God, with a soft voice, they whisper to the Almighty God. The spirit of blame, the spirit of complaint. That's the reason why the land is barren. That's the reason why the rain has been withheld from many. That's the reason why the rain comes and then disappears after some time. Why do we speak of praise so much? Because praise is the opposite of the spirit of blaming and complaining. When we praise God, we say, Lord, I've got no complaint against anybody in the whole universe. I raise my hands to you and I testify, I have no complaint against a single human being in the whole wide world. None, nobody has done me harm. Even the devil, I've got no complaint against him. Absolutely none. He's been defeated on the cross. What complaint can I have against him? Absolutely none. Jesus has done all things well. Therefore I praise him. Tomorrow, how will it be? Same song. Jesus has done all things well. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Day after tomorrow, same song. But it's new. It's new because
during the last 24 hours, some new experiences have come my way, exciting experiences, where I can see, oh, that's some new thing Jesus has prepared for me there. Wonderful things God has prepared for those who love Him. Some of those things are, what are some of the things God prepares for us who love Him? Misunderstandings, He prepares that for us. You say, God prepared? Yeah, He prepares it so that I'll be free from the opinion of that fellow who misunderstands me. Isn't that a good thing? The best possible thing that God could have prepared for me, that somebody misunderstood me so that I could be free from his opinion. Maybe God saw that I was such a slave to that brother's opinion that God allows him to misunderstand me, so he says, I want you to be free from him. And I'm free. God prepares so many things for those who love him, to make them like Jesus. To make them like Jesus. Not to make their life comfortable. No, no, no. Comfort is in eternity. But to make them like Jesus. Are you interested in that, brother? Is your heart gripped with this gospel? Then the baptism in the Holy Spirit will be meaningful for you. Otherwise, the whole thing will be hollow and shallow in a few days. I guarantee you that. Otherwise, year after year, it will become more and more glorious. It is more glorious for me today than it was last year. And very much more glorious than it was 16, 17 years ago. I can tell you that honestly before God. Very, very, very much more glorious. God has prepared amazing things. Let's love Him with all of our hearts, determined there will be no rival for God in my heart. In no situation will I stop praising Him. And when I praise Him, the volume of my voice will not be less than the volume of my own voice was in the days when I used to lose my temper. Okay? Shall we make that a rule? That the way you used to lose your temper once upon a time, and how you got all worked up, now you're going to get worked up to praise God, not with the feeble, wishy-washy type of way, but with greater intensity than you sinned. Are you going to serve God with less intensity than you served the devil a few years ago? Shame on you! How you used to yell at your husband, you sisters! Can't you praise God like that, a little louder than that, with greater intensity today? And you who used to shout at your wives and get upset with them, how are you going to praise God today? With greater zeal. And you who had things to complain against others, and your mind would work overtime to think up things to complain. You did this and you did that, and you're like your mother, and you're like your father, and you're like everybody else in your family, and you can't think of one or two things to praise God for. Shame on you! Why isn't your mind working overtime now to praise God? You who served the devil overtime for so many years. Shame on us if we don't serve God overtime now. That's it. That's why we emphasize praise in the church. Continuous praise. Lord, for all the wretched things I did serving the devil overtime for so many years, I'm going to make up for it now. I'm going to serve you overtime to praise you. With all my heart, I'm going to make sure before I leave this earth, I'm going to have praised God at least 100 times more than I complained and grumbled and complained and criticized in my life. Yeah. Make that a rule and you'll find, really, it'll only be praise in our life because Jesus has done all things well. God is on the throne. I want nothing from Him. I'm not trying to bribe God. I don't get good and perfect gifts by buttering the elders. No. I'll tell you that. Don't think you can butter the elders and get good and perfect gifts. They may be able to help you in some way, but it may not be a perfect gift. Please God, and you'll get the very best. Very best. No human being can stop you from getting it. If you honor Him, He'll honor you. There is no shifting shadow with Him. No partiality. He's exactly the same. What He did for others, He'll do for you. What He did for Jesus, He'll do for you. Say, Lord, I'm determined to honor You in my life. I believe You'll honor me. I believe with all my heart You'll honor me. I'll lose out on nothing. Let's have faith. Let's come with the spirit of faith when we come to the Lord. In personal prayer or in the meetings. I'm going to trust You, Lord. My expectation is not from man. I expect God to meet with me. I expect God to meet with me. And I'll never be disappointed. Those who put their trust in me, the Lord says, we'll never, never be ashamed. What a wonderful life, you young children. And young people can start off early in life, trusting God, being free from the opinions of men, loving Jesus with all your heart. What a tremendous privilege it is to be in the church. Your children, you don't realize what a blessing it is to grow up in the church. I feel sorry for those who don't have that privilege. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that God has brought you into a church where people are filled with the Holy Spirit and where the word of prophecy comes and stirs your heart. Don't take it for granted. Be thankful to God from the depth of your heart. Always, always, always learn to be thankful for the church. How many times do you give thanks to God for the church in your private prayer? Here, of course, we'll say, Lord, thank you for the church. How many times do you say that in private? That's the test of whether you're sincere. If you don't say it in private, I would say to you, you're a hypocrite if you say it in the meetings here. Don't say it in the meetings here if you're not saying it in private. Lord, I'm deeply, deeply thankful that you brought me to a spiritual church where the word of prophecy stirs my heart to love Jesus always. I'm deeply thankful, Lord, that you've given me and my family a place in such a church. Say that to God in private if you really want to mean it. We praise the Lord for the way the Spirit is moving in these days. Get into the river. Get into the river and don't let it be ankle deep or waist deep. Take your feet off. Take your feet off. It's a wonderful feeling when your feet are off the earth and you're carried by the river. Carried by the river. Yeah, that's what the Spirit of God wants to do to us.